This podcast is a part of CGN Media, a podcast network that points to Christ. We are supported by listeners like you. To help us create more great shows, visit cgnmedia.org/support.
Hello and welcome to When She Leads, a podcast for women in ministry. I'm your host, Brenda Leavenworth, and I want to sit around the table with you and consider the complexities and realities of leading as a woman. Listen in as we confront each topic biblically and practically. Today, I have the awesome privilege of interviewing two amazing children's ministry leaders. First, Tammy Pena. Hi, Tammy.
Hey there.
Children's ministry director here at Reliance Church in Temecula, and Jasmine Boucher. Hi, Jasmine.
Hi.
From Calvary Chapel, Murrieta. She is also the children's ministry director. So why don't you guys tell us a little bit about yourselves and just like what your experience in children's ministry is, kind of how you got to this table today.
Yeah, I'll start. Jasmine here. So I've been attending Calvary Murrieta for about 11 years and then came on staff. I just actually had my 6-year anniversary.
Uh-huh.
So started out as the children's ministry assistant and was under Pastor Tony for 3 years, I guess, three and a half. And then when it was time for him to kind of move on to other things, still within the church, but taking on different roles, they asked if I wanted to step up, and I said yes. And so I've been the director
awesome.
Now for about 2.5 years and love it. Have, I don't know, maybe 60 or 70 volunteers that kind of come throughout the week, different services, different days and times and all that. And then a great assistant, Alyssa Kress, that I work with as well.
All righty. Awesome. Thank you so much. Do you lead just Sunday mornings or do you do the midweek programs as well?
Midweek as well. And then also the women's ministry events. So we have our mom's group and our Tuesday morning Bible study as well.
Awesome. Very
Yay.
Cool.
I love it.
Yeah.
This is Tammy, and I've been serving in Reliance Church for over 14 years now, so been here for a while. I've been doing children's ministry as a director for 35 years. I can't believe
wow.
it. I counted it up, and I'm like, wow. I started super young in my teens, have always
like
had
I was
a heart.
Seven.
I wish I could say that.
Yeah.
And so it really, children's ministry transformed my life, so I always wanted to be a part of it in some shape or form. And I've just had the great opportunity here to be able to come alongside an incredible team to serve the Lord. And so we have a little over 300 children every Sunday for all of our services, and we have a WANA program, and then we do child care throughout the week for the different ministries that meet.
So that's fantastic. And there's so much that goes into it. I know because I watch you guys and just like the scheduling of volunteers and the training
yes.
and the, you know, people that don't show up when
yeah.
they say they're going to show up and all the things. And then the just the spiritual aspects of the kids. And we'll get into all of that. And we kind of want to focus on like, what do people who are listening that are in children's ministry, like what do they need to know or what should they know? And so we're going to go through some of that. But I'm super excited because we've never done I don't think we've done a segment. I think we did one on special needs, like, mm-hmm. you know, dealing with special needs within the church. But then mm-hmm. having this is just so exciting to me because they're such a huge part of the church, you know, our children. And I know both of you probably have the philosophies of that children aren't like something that they grow up into members of the church. They are members of the church. And so
Absolutely.
Share a little bit about just like your personal philosophy of ministry or the heart behind ministry.
Mm-hmm. So I really look at the kids as our future, not far in the future, but we're training them now. We have leadership programs for the kids starting out at third grade so they can continue to be leaders. But my philosophy behind the ministry is just realizing this is eternity that we are dealing with. We don't do childcare. That's a naughty word here. we only have time to change lives and to transform for eternity. And so for me, that's super important in everything that we do. We're looking at vision, constantly evaluating what is our vision? What is our heart? What is the heart of our pastor? Are we making sure that that's part of our vision here? So we work as a team and we're cohesive with all of those things. And we have a three-pronged ministry. So we are working with children, obviously, but we're also working with their parents and also the servants. So we have three ministries within a ministry. And so we have to look at the heart of that. How do we connect with each of those groups in a meaningful, powerful way for eternity?
Amen.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It is so multifaceted across the board. And of course, our number one thing is we want the kids to know that Jesus loves them. Yes. He's real and he is here for them. And it's not a story that they're reading or, you know, just something that they are brought to by their parents because they have to, but that God is here and he wants to meet them where they're at. Mm-hmm. And we can share his love with them. And yeah, just to know, I'm sorry. Just to know that he is real and he is for them.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And that they can be a part of the church. They can use yes. their spiritual gifts. And kids can pick up so much. Like, they're so smart, such intelligent little people.
They are.
And sometimes we think, oh, we just want to share a story. But they can grasp so many concepts. And those yeah. concepts they're going to keep. Or when they memorize the word, like, they're going to take that into their adulthood. And so those things are so fantastic. What are some of the, and we could just stop on this question. I know this one's going to be loaded for you guys, but what are some of the biggest joys working with children or maybe even a story of like the, just that one, like, you know, sort of Rose Bowl moment or Super Bowl, I guess I should say.
Yes, we could definitely take hours yeah. talking about this. But of course, with our goal in helping children reach eternity, I had a girl 2 years ago that came up to me. I shared part of my testimony at VBS, and I have quite a colorful childhood, to say the least. And she was going through very similar circumstances with abuse in her family. And she just felt like giving up. And so I shared a bit of my testimony, as I usually do during VBS with our servants, because I was saved at VBS as a four-year-old child, and it changed my whole trajectory. But she came up to me 2 years ago, which was 2 years after I shared my testimony, and she wrote this beautiful letter to me and said, I was about ready to give up. Mm-hmm. And because you shared that you could do what you've done and you are where you are because of Jesus, I know he's not going to give up on me. Mm-hmm. And I know he loves me and I know I can fight through these battles. And to have someone relate to that and to be inspired by the pain that I've suffered in my life and to show her that, yes, we can do this with Jesus. And my goal, the reason I have such a heart for children's ministries because that was my safe haven as a child, and she's feeling that same feeling. Right. So I just totally related to that, and yeah. I was weeping the ugly cry with her when I read wow. her beautiful letter, but I had no idea her story and yeah. up until that point.
So important, that safe harbor, that, you know, kids are coming in that are in abusive families yes. and that, you know, don't have a great home life, and then to come here mm-hmm. and be able to come to church and then be able to meet with Jesus and be around loving people and people mm-hmm. that are going to support them through thick and yeah. thin. It's just that is, there's no greater joy.
Right.
And then to see them get yeah. it.
And a lot of people think because they go to church, everything's great. Oh, mm-hmm. all the people at church, they don't have any problems. They don't have any issues. And we're all part of this world. And so because of that, they're dealing with really hard things. When we write down their prayer requests, when they pray, when we pray with them, it's heavy stuff.
Right.
And so we need to realize that as children's ministry leaders and directors, that is where our goal is. Let's get to the heart of things. Let's be there in the thick and the thin and every trench in between. And so they know that they can always rely on us. We're always there for them. And oh. so a lot of times people just take it for granted that, mm-hmm. They go to church, everything's great.
Right.
No, that's yeah. where the battle begins, because Satan right. wants to attack all that business.
Yeah. So. No kidding. What's been some of your biggest joys?
I mean, the simple ones of just kids running up to you and giving you a hug. You might be power walking to get to a situation, but somebody runs up to you and hugs you and just stop for that second and just enjoy that. But there was a time a few years ago when I was assisting, I was doing it was a really small service. I think it was probably our 8 a.m., which is one of our smaller ones, but I was doing an object lesson where you bring in the clear jars, and one has like the iodine and one has bleach and one has water, and you're mm-hmm. pouring to show, you know, this is our sin and the sin takes over, and then Jesus, you know, washes our sins away, and then the iodine turns white because of the, or clear because of the bleach. And so the, you know, I'm doing the whole little thing, and there's this one little boy, and he's just sitting in the front row, wide-eyed, and, you know, I do the thing, and he's like, oh, can he even take my sins away? I'm like, yes, yes, he can. I'm like, yeah.
Girl, open your mouth. Let me pour some bleach.
So that was always, it's just like a core memory for me.
Like a little light bulb moment.
Yeah.
That's precious. I mean, just to see kids, like, getting baptized, you know, and they fully understand what it is, or getting being saved for the first time, or, you know, we have an Awana program, and just seeing them, you know, there's third graders that'll come in, it's like, oh, this kid knows 87 verses. Like, I don't even know 87 verses.
You know,
one of our grandkids rattled off the entire, like, all the books of the Bible. Ted just looked at me and goes, I don't even know if I can do that. like, here's this 8-year-old just shining and showing us up. Yeah. And then they can lead people to the Lord too, right? And then they turn around and lead people to the Lord. It's so fantastic.
Yeah. And it's exciting too when you see those kids that are in the corners when they first begin coming in, or they might be the ones that the teachers are saying, yeah, I'm having some discipline issues here. The more we can call them by their first names, the more we treat them as an individual, all of a sudden those are the kids that start raising their hands. And that always gets me every time, because it's just like, click, it turned from being that kid that I keep seeing their name on the report, we need to chat with the parents, to all of a sudden, this is the one reading the Bible. This is the one who knows the Bible verse. This is the one who can answer the questions, because their life's been transformed. Not only, of course, by the love of Jesus, but by people who care about them, that want to love on them, that are there for them. And that always gets me excited too, when you see their transformation.
Yeah,
it's so fun.
What is it, you know, why is it important to have the right people and the right procedures in place? And I'll let you go first, Jasmine, but why is that important to us?
Right. No, just like you were just saying, you know, having the people who are going to take the time to learn their name and ask them about, hey, you know, last week you told me XYZ, how's that going, to follow up, and the kids can know, oh, somebody's thinking about me throughout the week. And not only are they thinking about me, but they're praying for me and they're remembering me. And, oh, I haven't been here in a couple weeks, but they remember that last time I, you know, my cat was sick or whatever. So to have that personal connection, to build that relationship, is just so important. So that the kids do feel not only the love of Jesus, but we are his hands and his feet. And so to feel that extended through the volunteers is so important.
Wow, that's good.
Just, I think, taking that extra step in the classroom, if they are teaching a lesson or running the craft or the snack, where it's, oh, they put in some thought to this, you know, they brought in a honey bear because they want us to know that, you know, Samson was doing this thing, or, you know, just to make it that one extra step, so that they're not just hearing the lesson, but they're experiencing it as well.
And a lot of times pastors will have these great ideas, like, oh, let's get all the parents to serve one Sunday a month, or they have these ideas, and I'm all about filling a heart, not filling a hole.
Yeah.
And so that's part of having the right team. What are they passionate about? What is their compassion? What is their gifting? I don't want to just put someone in there because we have an opening. I want to put someone in there because they want to fill a child's heart. And so that really transforms the way the ministry operates, because everyone's there with the same goal, the same vision, the same purpose, to fill lives. And so I refer to all of our servants as missionaries. When I pray for them, when we have our morning prayer meetings, we talk about missionaries, because that changes the way you feel about what you're doing. You're a missionary to the community versus someone doing childcare, which, again, we don't use that word, but it really changes the outlook and the perspective for everyone. I'm a missionary. This is my mission field. These are my children that I'm serving. So it's really important to have people there. And then also, on the safety aspect of it, we want to make sure we have people that can get kids out in case of an emergency. If there's a fire, if there's an earthquake, if there's an active shooter type situation, we have to have people that are capable of handling those situations. These are our precious, precious kiddos. And so we want to make sure that all of those things are taken care of in case of an emergency, that we have people in there that are trained, that are ready to jump into any type of situation that might come up. And we have to make sure that we're doing our due diligence and training people for those situations.
Yeah, I remember a particular time when I'm always the one like, more kids, let's have more kids in Bible study. And Tammy's always the voice of wise reasoning. of like, no, like, what are you going to do if there's an earthquake? How many of these kids, you know, under two can you pick up and carry out? It's like, oh yeah, I'd have to leave a few of those behind. Like, probably shouldn't do that. So in a practical way, like those ratios that you kind of stand firm on, like those are important things. And so talking through kind of procedures and stuff and safety, what would you guys consider maybe like the top three like laws in children's ministry that people should know? Because we've done at our church, we occasionally will do consultations with other churches and assessments, and usually we'll show them like where their legal exposures are, if they have any. And so what are kind of maybe the top three laws that like if there's a children's ministry leader or pastor listening, like what do they need to know?
That is a great question. I don't know if I know the top three, but I mean, I know for sure that we take the safety really seriously in doing the live scan background check and making sure that anyone who's in a classroom, you know, has gone through that process, and making sure that they're never alone in a classroom with another student. So I don't know if that's necessarily a law, but it's a safety practice, you know, that we have. And then, also just the mandated reporting, if a child does bring up a situation that's going on at home or at school, that they know to report that to us so that we can get that report filed right away.
Yeah, so if you're in California, you need to be aware of AB 506. It's a California mandated youth reporting. So we have to, every church, because you work with youth, you are required to follow these California requirements. If you're in other states, they have similar training. But everyone has to be trained in child abuse reporting. As Jasmine mentioned, we have to know, you have to actually take an online class and have a certificate for that. And to be able to report any signs of child abuse, you have to have a live scan. So it is now required. Before, churches used it as an opportunity. Well, it's our option. Should we? Shouldn't we? Yes, you always should. but it is now required. So if any church is not in compliance as of January 2024, they are not going to be able to operate under a California mandate, and California can shut down the children's ministry. So it's very, very serious. They have given us 2 years to come into compliance, so now we're at the end of those 2 years. So everyone has to be trained for all of those things. Also, we have to learn the identification for those abuses, and churches have to have a policies and procedures for how they deal with that. So California can come in, someone can from the state can come in and say, okay, what are you going to do if you have a victim of child abuse? How do you handle it? And everybody has to know. Anyone who serves, whether you're on staff or a volunteer, you have to be aware of what those laws are, what those rules are. And it's very, very serious. So that's definitely a top priority. As we visited other churches, we knew they're a little bit out of compliance.
Yeah, and those legal exposures, we had a situation where we did an assessment, and we showed them where they were legally exposed, and they were able to take some steps to fix that. And then like 3 weeks later, they actually, there was an accusation. And so it saved their behinds in that, because you need to show that you have due diligence, right? Yes. That like, okay, we have this procedure. Here's the manual. Everybody's been trained. We know the language. We know it step by step. We've taken those steps. And so you can show due diligence. What about other laws?
Yeah, so that's important. Speaking of due diligence for insurance purposes. So at our church, we make sure everyone who's dealing with children in any way, shape, or form has followed all of the requirements, because we want to make sure we've done all of our due diligence. So if someone's working in security, they have to go through all of the mandates as well. They have to be live scanned and do the mandated reporting training, all of those things. Because God forbid something should happen and there's an accusation and we haven't done our due diligence, then we are not only emotionally, morally, and spiritually liable, but also very painfully financially liable. So we want to make sure that those things are covered, as well as safety. So obviously you want to make sure you can, the ratios that Brenda brought up earlier, I'm super tight on crazy on that, because I'm always thinking in case of emergency. When I lay my head on the pillow at night, I need to know that I kept those little sheep that belong to the Lord as safe as I possibly can. So I'm constantly looking around the church, the campus, for anything that might be a safety issue. Can kids get out of the classroom? Can they get to the parking lot? Who's watching them? How are they there? So there's lots of that. And part of the new mandated reporting laws also require, which we have always had as a policy, but they have to have two or more adults in the presence of children at all times. So that's another good safety net for our kids, but also just making sure those things are being followed. So always looking at things through the eyes of a guest. So as someone's coming on campus, you're a parent, what do you see? What looks safe to you? If you don't feel like there's somebody there who knows what they're doing, you're obviously going to go out the back door. So we do have all of our servants have t-shirts, red t-shirts. And they have lanyards, so everyone knows when they see that anywhere on campus that there's someone who's been trained, so they're easily identifiable. And I also like that in case of emergency, too, so I know who I can call upon if there was a crazy situation, unfortunately. We know red shirts, and everyone, you know, goes into formation.
Yeah. Maybe we could talk about, I don't know if you have the ratios, but maybe we could talk about that, because someone might want to know, like, well, where do I get that information? You know what I mean? So what are the ratios for kids? What's that breakdown look like?
I would have to look at we have a policy, and I would have to look at it. I know in the nursery we're 4-to-1, and then it goes up higher as you go each grade, but we definitely want to have as many hands as possible for the little babies, but I'm not sure on the exact numbers.
Yeah, so nursery, depending on your classroom too, because it does depend on your classroom space, how much space you have in there. So our ratios are a little bit higher. We're 2-to-1 in the nursery because it's one of our smaller areas for the little babies. So, and then we go to 3-to-1 for twos and threes, and then 6-to-1, fours, I'm sorry, starting at threes, we do 6-to-1, fours, and above, we go 12-to-1 starting at 4-year-olds. And then once we get to kindergarten, then we can do 15-to-1. But again, there always has to be two adults in the room,
right.
No matter what. But it does depend on your classroom space. And what you're looking at is, okay, realistically, how many hands is it going to get to take these kids out of the room if there was an emergency or if there was a crisis situation? How are we going to get them all out? That's what I'm constantly looking at. So I'm always trying to explain that to pastors because they're like, well, you could fit 30 kids in there. Well, yeah, but I can't get 30 kids out, like Brenda was referring to earlier. You know, that's what we're always looking at.
Yeah. Are there any other legal exposures that you guys can think of that churches might need to know? What does that look like? Is there anything else that we've kind of, or did you hit them all?
Well, live scan's a big one because you do get live scanned and we get updates. So that is really big. When we get an update, maybe someone has a DUI or a situation like that, live scan does notify us so we can keep on top of those situations.
That's
so
good.
I recommend doing live scan versus background checks. There's lots of Christian organizations that offer a background check per se. It's less expensive, but believe me, it's not worth the amount of money compared to what you're going to get from a live scan. And
so
live scan's government.
So
live scan is fingerprints through the government. A lot of the Christian organizations offer a background check, which is basically putting in your social security number. It's not fingerprints. And so, I have had experience in the past where someone was using a different identity. Mm-hmm. So those fingerprints exposed that this was not the person that goes with the fingerprints.
Oh, wow.
So it was pretty wild.
<That's interesting.
laughs> It was pretty wild. So yeah, no one's coming through
wild
those doors.
Wild stuff happening in children's ministry. So what are some of the pitfalls or failures you guys have seen? Like maybe either it could be on a teaching level, it could be on a leadership level, or what are some of the pitfalls or failures you guys have seen?
I think for me, one of the hardest things, and I put it under the pitfall category, I don't know if that's the right spot for it, but is just knowing, and we kind of have swung the pendulum every which way you can on rewarding behavior, because we want good behavior. Mm-hmm. We want the kids participating and growing and learning. And it's like, but we don't want them doing it for the reward, for the prize. Mm-hmm. So we want you to memorize that Bible verse, and here's a sticker. But, you know, do we do the sticker? Do we not do the sticker? Do we do a candy? Do we do a chart? You know, so just trying to find that balance of, we want this to be coming from their heart, but rewards are helpful and they help motivate kids. So just knowing where to kind of draw that line of, okay, that's far enough. You know, we don't want it to just be so focused on the prize or the reward. We want it to be a heart change, and they're doing it. They're bringing their Bible because they want to open it and read it, not because they want to get a sticker, you know. So that's one of the things we're always looking at.
That's got to be a rough balance too, because you have some like rougher kids coming in, and you don't want them to like, oh, this is the standard of behavior. Because I remember when I was little going into church and like not knowing the word, not knowing anything. And if it would have been like the, you know, oh, we get candy for Bible verses or whatever, I never would have gotten any. I would have been at the little kid in the corner like, someone going to throw me something? So I guess it's probably that tough balance too. And like, we don't want kids coming in and thinking that Christianity is just about being moral, just about being good, just about this certain standard, or you have to meet this certain level, but genuinely meeting them where they're at, and everybody's in a different place, you know.
And we try to encourage our volunteers, because it is easy then to the same kid over and over gets the same prize, because
I know there's always
little,
that,
you know,
one
that little angel in the class, and then you know you've got my son who's like, I didn't get it, you know, because he's there all the time and he's very, very comfortable. And so to remind the teachers, like, we're not looking for perfection. You don't have to be perfect to get the sticker or the ticket. Let's look for the kid who normally you say it's time to line up at the door, just chucks out, doesn't push his chair in, and is gone, or her. Hey, you know what? This week they slowed down, they stopped, they pushed in their chair, and they walked to the door. That maybe they were talking out, maybe they weren't paying attention during worship, but they did that one thing. Like, let's look for something good that they're doing where we're not expecting perfection across the board.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. For me, a lot of the pitfalls, as I touched on earlier, are people who refer to children's ministry as childcare.
Yes.
That is one of my biggest pet peeves. I visited churches where they're just showing movie the whole time, or they're just playing the whole time, or they have so many activities, they don't have time for God's word. And so to me, that's a huge pitfall when I'm visiting other places, because we do need to remember our mentality for, and our vision is changing lives for eternity. And so that's a huge pitfall that I see sometimes. And then also the lack of safety in churches. Oh, I know that they've been my neighbor. They've gone to this church for 5 years. I know who they are. And so those are the times where we're leaving ourselves very vulnerable. We don't want to be just stuck out there thinking we trust someone and we know what they're doing, when we can really be putting ourselves in a lot of liability that way. Also, training's a huge thing. A lot of people who have attrition in their churches are because of lack of training. People want to serve, they want to be a part of it, but they don't know what to do. So if somebody could train them, in our trainings, we always talk about our vision, our purpose, why we're here. Because once they see that, they have a transformation of their heart. Oh, man, I'm not here just to sit here for an hour and a half. I'm here to read lessons to the kids and to love on them and to listen to them and call them by name. Again, that training, having that underneath them, helps them feel empowered. Okay, I can do this. I know what I'm doing. I know what my objective is. And then also policies and procedures. A lot of places just, oh, we've always done this. I followed the person behind me. I'm doing what they're doing. And so that can be a pitfall too, because we want a fresh vision from the Lord. And so I'm constantly praying about that, because our ministry has morphed quite a bit over the years out of my comfort zone. So I know that's Jesus. but always looking at it with fresh eyes. I love when we have new people join the children's ministry and I tell them, scrutinize everything. I'm not afraid of anything. Please tell me any ideas you have. If you wonder why I'm doing something the way I'm doing, let's talk about it. Tell me about it. Tell me why, what, anything I can improve, you know, because this is not, and I say this all the time in training, it's not my ministry. It belongs to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so you're not going to hurt my feelings because it's all about Jesus. Let's make it his very best. So pour it out. Let's go.
Yeah. I actually know some churches that say that they do childcare. They actually will state, we do not do children's ministry. And it's just heartbreaking.
Shocking.
Waste of time.
Yes.
You know, for the parents. And I mean, we're not in charge of raising children in the Lord, but we are in charge of coming alongside parents and helping them to
partnering
mm-hmm. with them.
I have one other thing as you were talking about doing the same thing, getting stuck in the same curriculum because this is what we've always used and maybe it's not the right fit for your children's ministry. And so I think really getting out there and looking to see what is out there and not getting stuck using the same thing just because that's what you've always done.
Yes.
Yeah. This might be a good time to kind of just talk through, like, you I'm sure both churches have different ways that they actually do their Sunday morning program. So how do you guys do your Sunday morning program? What sort of, you know, just very briefly, right. like what's the routine for Sunday morning?
Yeah, Calvary Murrieta, our Sunday mornings, we check in our multi-purpose room, the MPR, and then if they are in kindergarten through fifth grade, they stay, and we have found that just giving them a little bit of free time in the morning where they can combine with other ages has been working out really great. Siblings that wouldn't necessarily be together because of their age group are able to kind of stay and have a slower time before they have to separate. But if they're nursery through four-year-old, they go into their classroom. And then if they're kinder through fifth, they stay. We all do worship together. We have a Bible buddy memory verse that we work on. And then kinder first and second, they head off to the playground, get some energy out before they head into the classroom for their lesson. And then we actually do our lesson for third, fourth, and fifth grade all together. After their lesson time is over, they head out to the playground, get some energy out, while the younger ones go back to class for their lesson. And then third, fourth, and fifth grade, we actually have a small group program that we do with them. So they then head back to different locations and classrooms to break into small groups of 5 to 8, sometimes 10 or 12, depending on how many leaders we have, kiddos that they can meet with an adult leader or an older teenager, usually they're adults, and they can talk about what's going on in their life. Sometimes they review the lesson and they talk about that sort of thing, but the main emphasis and goal is just for them to share with a group of their peers what's going on in their lives, talk about the hard things, talk about the happy things, and then they go ahead and get picked up by their parents.
Awesome.
So for us, we're a little pretty similar to that. We do check in at all one station, so all the parents can check in all their kids all at once, and then they end up in their own individual classrooms. We're divided up by grades, and during that time, the check-in time, that's when the leaders get to visit with the kids, talk with them. We have activities that have to do with the Bible lesson, so it just keeps reiterating what we're going to learn about. So they're working on those activities before they head to worship, and then about 15 minutes into service, we head to worship, and we do collective worship from the 5K class all the way to fifth grade. So we're all in one room for that, and it is so joyful. It never gets old. We always have tears tumbling down, seeing those kids worshiping the Lord, raising their hands, and the parents aren't even pushing them into doing it. It's just straight from their hearts. Love it. And then we do our Bible lesson collectively as well during that time, and then after that, we break up and go back to their classrooms where they began, and we do questions regarding the Bible message, and then also do prayer request time. So we have boards in our classroom, so we have a prayer and praise boards in there, so we give them sticky notes, and they write their prayer requests on the sticky notes, and then the goal is to show them how God works, and one day they can take that sticky note from the prayer side and move it over to the praise side. So we want them to see how God tangibly works in their life, so that's what we're working on, and it's so cute because it's like kids will spontaneously just pray for their friend right then and there, you know, when it's heavier things. And then, of course, the little kids, I have a scratch. Let me find it. It's somewhere here. It's so precious, though, and it's important to them, so it's cute.
Yeah.
And I think it's great when the kids can have that time to talk and talk about their prayer requests. And I was sitting in doing some work in the corner while another group was in. I think it was our fourth and fifth grade boys. But one of them said, oh, my grandma or grandpa, I can't remember, is sick. And then another one, my grandma's sick. And then another one, my grandma. And it's like, okay, we're all.
Everybody's grandma's sick. Yeah.
Tis the season. We're all sick. But, you know, they're kind of finding that, like, I'm not the only one going through this. They can share it together where they might not necessarily talk about that on the playground. But you give them that space to kind of open up. It's really cool.
I love that. And that's why we write them down, too, because some kids are uncomfortable sharing as you get into the third, fourth, fifth grade.
Yeah.
They may not feel comfortable sharing what their prayer request is out loud sometimes. So we'll give them that opportunity. If they want to have a private prayer request, they write it down because we don't put their names on it, and they can put it on the board and know that they'll be prayed for. And I always remind them, we're coming through the classrooms all week long. Lots of ministries coming through here. Everyone can see those, and there's more people praying than just the people in your class. Wow. So they get super excited about that.
That's cool. I know one of the things that you do, Tammy, is we have, and I haven't done this at any other church, so it's so impressive, just the leadership program that you've started here for kids. And we've found that to be, like, super fruitful. Would you explain just a little bit about what that is?
Sure. So we call it Crew 412, from 1 Timothy 4:12, and talking about do not despise your youth. Mm-hmm. And so God put it on my heart many years ago, especially for those kids that are attending two services because their parents are serving, giving them an opportunity to be our youth leaders. And so we started the program at about third grade. If their parents are serving, I let them do it a little bit younger, but we're giving them jobs in the classroom. So they're helping to hand out the papers, they're playing with the kids in the classroom, they help lead our worship, they help us with our puppet team, and just the general movement of the classroom. One of the most precious things I love, when we have kids that are new and they're coming in and they're tearful and they're scared, adults can love on them all you want, but you get one of those crew kids next to them, and they're like, yeah, bye, parents. Those tears stop because they have someone closer to their age. And so the kids are really trained on being able to do that. And I always say, like, they could take over my job right now. Whenever I know they're in charge, they're such a great supplement for us. We're getting ready to do, we do a quarterly outreach as well. So this is something that they create on their own. I just help implement whatever their ideas are. So we do a quarterly outreach. So this year, they have voted on, they're going to be handing out Christmas ornaments, and they're inside the ornament has a keychain with a Bible verse on it. And then they're inviting people to church, and then they're going to hang them at the sports parks. When they go to their games, they're going to hang them from the trees. Yeah. And then we're also giving out Bibles. So we're beautifully wrapping them up in packages, and it's going to say, "Open me." Inside is the Bible, and then they're folding origami ornaments, and inside the origami ornament has a special message each kiddo will do. So we've done all different kinds of things for our outreach. One of the most impactful one for me was several years ago. We called it a sneak attack for Jesus. And they took post-it notes and they just wrote Bible verses. And they said, "Jesus loves you. Please come join us at church." You know, just different little things like that. And they put them everywhere. So they put them at gas stations and Target and Walmart and wherever they were, cereal boxes, I thought was the cutest thing. So one of the ladies came to our church from that. She came to our church and she sought me out, and she wanted to tell me, find out who I was and this note that she got. Well, she was on her way out of Target and she was having a really hard day and considering taking her life. Mm. And on her car door is a note. It says, "Jesus loves you, who will never leave you nor forsake you." And she just took that into her hand. She showed it to me. And she took that into her hand and said, "This changed my life." And I said, "I didn't write it. A child wrote that." Mm. And so we were able to share that. And I shared it with the kids to know, you're making a difference now. You don't have to wait till you're a teenager or 25. You are making an impact now. And of course, I didn't share the suicide part with them, but I shared that this lady was having a very hard time. And so they also feel the vision. They also feel the impact of what they're doing. And so It's really important. We actually have 65 kids that are a part of that team. And our normal servant base, we have 150 adults that serve during Sundays, and then another 80 on Wednesday nights. So in comparison, there's a lot of kids that are serving. And so it's just incredible to see their growth too. And again, I'm not looking for kids that are the first ones raising their hands. I'm looking for that quiet kid in the corner that's drawing and feels like there's no place for me. Mm-hmm. And then I give them an opportunity. You know what? This little boy, oh, he loves Spider-Man. Can you draw Spider-Man for me? Yes, I could draw Spider-Man. And he now has a purpose where he felt like, I don't fit in. I don't know the answers. And now he has a purpose. So it's really exciting. They're awesome.
I can tell you as a grandmother, the fruit of that has been that now I have a grandson who's in middle school and he wants to be here every service. Like mm-hmm. now, because he went through that program, like he's working the coffee cart first service. He's doing sound for junior high second. He's running the cameras third. Like these are kids now that like, this is my church and I want to be involved. And it's so cool. Mm-hmm. Jasmine, how do you guys handle like what, like special needs kids when they come in? Because that's, I think, another area in children's ministry where people are like, how do we handle this? Because people desperately want to come to church, but sometimes they can't because, you know, the child is difficult to get there. But we can make that easier. And so how do you guys handle that?
Yeah, we have a special needs class available at our 12 o'clock service that was where we felt we could offer it the best. We have two fabulous ladies that actually work with special needs kids throughout the week in their day job, and they kind of recruited each other, and so they do it together. And we offer that to parents. If somebody does come to another service, what we usually try to do is, depending on their need, give them a one-on-one so they can be in the classroom with everybody else, but they have that one person where if it's too loud and they need to step out, they can step out with them. Or if everybody's moving on to the next thing and they're not ready to transition, they can kind of hang back with them. But our special needs class is specifically on Sundays at noon.
Oh, that's awesome. Fantastic. Anything different there? Or?
We do a little bit different. We do integrate all of our children into all the services, and so we have a special buddy for them, and we have special buddy boxes. So in every box, we have headphones.
I need one of those bags. Yeah. It has like a fidget thing.
I know. It's a lot of fun.
Give them to the pastors because they probably need those too.
So we did something fun. Our creative team actually thought of, not my idea, but we have kind of like safari vests, so those that are like a hunting vest sort of with all the little pockets in it, and their shirt says special, or their vest says special buddies. So inside the pockets are all these fun little things. So when a special buddy gets bored, guess what? I'm going to open up another pocket and there's another fidget in there, there's another thing in there. So we hide stuff in there just to make the element of surprise and just keep it moving for them, for the special buddies we have. And like I said, we have boxes available. We do want to be ready. And it's been a good growth opportunity because we do have quite a few special needs friends. For the other kiddos, you know, why do they get to play with toys and I don't get to play with toys?
They're like, I want a guy with the vest on.
They're like, I want that. But just to explaining how God made all of us in his image and in his likeness. And so allowing them to understand their friend next to them and not looking at them like, why are they doing that? We're all part of the same body of Christ, family. We're not ostracized. We are all together. We all have our different quirks and things we love. And so it's been great because now, and especially the crew kids, they're always flocking around our special friends because they want to hang out with them. And it's just a fun privilege for them. Like, oh, God made them so special. And so it's been a really great growth for us. We really want to do more. It's on my heart to do more. But right now we just pair them up with a buddy.
Wow. I mean, we've talked about so many things. I don't know if you guys have other things you want to talk about, but one thing that I would like to end on is what's the best way for children's ministry workers to find resources? What are places they can keep up on curriculum, research, the laws we've been talking about? Is there like a location that you guys go to find? How do you do that research?
That's a great question. I would love for there to be a one-stop shop for all of those things. Wouldn't that be nice? It's Google for me. I mean, I try to, you know, research different things. We do use group publishing for our curriculum. And so we have one that we use on Sundays and one that we use on Wednesdays and then one that we use for VBS. And so group has a lot of different options.
What's the website for that? Do you know?
Group? I believe it's group publishing.
Group publishing. Yeah. Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah. And then, yeah, and then again, just I literally just Google stuff. We do coloring pages, and it's like, okay, the lesson this week is Deborah. So Deborah Bible coloring page, image search, and what can we find? And there's a lot of stuff on there. But, yeah, if there's a one-stop shop, please let me know.
Yes, wish there was. Yes, it's lots of research. And I also work with other people. I have a mentor, and then I mentee people. So collectively, we talk about these things. What are you using? What are you doing? What works? What didn't work? I love group curriculum. I definitely recommend it. It's one of my favorites. We used it for quite some time. Right now we are using Grace curriculum because it is more of a one-stop shop as far as all the coloring sheets are there, activity sheets. It all goes with the lesson, and it's a little bit deeper than group. So we've changed. I like I said, we constantly want to have fresh eyes. What's got the vision God has given us? And so I'm constantly, curriculum is like one of my favorite things. So I just ask people, like, what are you looking for? And because I do a lot of research on it because it's my passion. And I do write some curriculum on my own. So I'm like really into that. But I wish there was one stop shop. I'm so going to make $1 million if they could do that.
Where do you find Grace?
Gracecurriculum.org also.
Gracecurriculum.org.
Yeah. So that's one that we're currently using. We also have the Awana curriculum. Another one, if you are looking for a free curriculum that I highly recommend, is truewaykids.com. They are incredible. They're free, and it's in many different languages. And they have preschool, elementary school, and teen all on the same themes. So that's one, if your church has a tight budget, I would highly recommend, because they're very biblically based. And also they have little booklets that have to do with the lesson too. So if you have a small budget, tight budget, highly recommend. And I do use that a lot too myself for supplementing for the ministries that we do help out during the week. So those are really fun ones.
Any other websites that people should run to?
I love on YouTube Saddleback Kids. I don't know if you've ever used their videos. Their videos are great. They're just little cartoon videos of different Bible stories. But Saddleback Kids has a great YouTube page.
Mm-hmm. Bible Project has a lot of stuff.
Yeah, yes, they do.
Yes. Yeah, that's one of my favorites for sure. Yeah. They have a lot of good ones. And mostly, again, it's a Google search. Mm-hmm. Calvary Curriculum is really good for supplements. They have, I like using them for the preschool age because I like their graphics. Mm-hmm. And they also have a great little summary that goes with the Bible lesson that you've learned. So they're another good one that I like going to. I also do focus on the family when I'm dealing with parenting issues. They have a lot of good resources there that I can refer families to. And then they also have fun stuff for families during the holidays and different issues. So that's another one that I use outside of curriculum. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of good curriculums out there. So just keep searching, doing Google, or you can contact me. But it's a fun for me. Just always, you know, what does the Lord want you guys to use? What is it that He's calling you to do? We have different themes. Sometimes we focus on the names of God. It could be all so different the way the Lord leads us. And that's why I said, I know it's not me, it's God, because a lot of it's been out of my brain cells. It's God.
Yeah, but there are good resources
out there.
Oh, yes,
definitely.
Yes.
Oh, plethora, plethora. Oh, childrensministry.com is another huge one that I use quite a bit. So that's a really great resource as well.
And Ministry to Children.
I almost forgot that one. They're connected, so that's perfect.
Hey, well, thanks for joining us today. We hope you find the content really helpful. Speaking of staying connected and with like-minded ministry workers, we want to tell you about something super exciting that we have going on. We have all new leadership cohorts, and we were joking earlier that we had to look up the word cohort. It's just people being like-minded in the same group. And so we're putting these Zoom groups, these Zoom cohorts together for the purpose of being connected and encouraged and equipped. So if you're a children's ministry leader, we're going to be having a children's ministry cohort that you can join and talk through these things more often. And that's why we do these topics, so that then we can just spur on the conversations, and these conversations can continue. So check it out. Go to whensheleads.org for more information and to register. They are free. And I love it. My husband always says, if it's free, it's for me. And also stay up to date on Facebook and Instagram to know what's going on. And When She Leads, we're going to a lot of different locations this year, doing conferences all over. And like always, we are our West Coast one. You can save the date already, October 18th and 19th. And we will be back at Marietta Hot Springs Resort. And this time they'll actually be open for business. Last time we were just in the auditorium, but now the entire spa and hotel and everything will be open. So it's going to be sure to be a great time. So, alrighty, we'll see you next time.